Here we are. Hi, good to see you. I've had one of those business mornings where you just want to throw the whole thing out. I've had to change internet browsers and oh my God, so dull. But you know how sometimes you're like, oh, I remember fondly when I actually had an IT help desk and some hot nerd would come down to your cubicle and go, it's cool, I've got it. They were never hot, were they? They were always a bit socially awkward. However, I miss those days deeply when I have to figure shit out on my own. So if you have had one of those kinds of weeks, maybe getting back into it, perhaps you've forgotten all your passwords. That kind of stuff happens, right? Let's spend a moment just kind of getting here, and then we will get into things. Yeah. So, yeah, just invite you to feel your feet on the floor. Feel your bum in your seat. Let your body relax. Just soften into your hips. Hey, yes, nice to see you. Yeah, just let your whole body kind of slump. Know that you're held by your seat. Just bring your attention up your back and into your shoulders. Give them a little roll if that feels good to you. Up into your neck. Stretch it out. Over the top of your crown. Down your face, relax your jaw. Come down into your heart. Just notice what's here this morning. You can reflect on the last few hours. How's your day started? Did you sleep well? How's your morning gone? How much energy do you have? What's on your mind? So we start 2024, start our Brave Hearts coaching for this year. You might like to imagine your business as its own thing with its own energy sitting in front of you. Just take a look at this thing that you've created, that only you could create, that only you could do the way you're doing. Your business might have its own energy field, its own identity to you. When you think about the relationship you have with your business, what words come to mind? What images bubble up? Just notice what comes up for you. Don't need to judge it or wonder if it should be different. You may like to ask your business, what does she need from you this year? What does it need from you this year? When you're ready, wiggle your toes a little. And come back to us in the room. Feel free to write down anything that came up for you. Feel free to share in the chat. What is the image or the word or the sense that you get from your business? Always fascinating. And who wants coaching today? Otherwise, we're going to have a short call. So, who wants coaching today? Feel free to claim your spot. Just stick your name in the chat or raise your hand if you know how to work the fancy thingos on Zoom. They're all good. Anything that's coming up for you, you may just want to share what the image you got for your business and explore that a little further. If you've got something that is coming up that you're like, oh, I need to figure this out, whatever's going on, claim your spot. Okay, we got. I just want you to read the comments in the chat. How tentative folks are. Is it okay if I share? I could, but I don't have to. I love it. So this year, what we're going to do is claim our space, right? Even if you end up sharing in every single call and you've got all these stories like, oh, no one wants to hear me again. Claim it. So if it's okay, I'm going to go against type because I usually go first and first served. I'm actually going to start with Anne, who was the third person to comment. Just about the image that you had of your business, because I think sometimes that's quite fun to explore. So, Anne, do you want to share a little bit? I'd love you to just kind of read out for folks listening to the replay what you saw, and let's take it from there.
Yeah, so I saw me opening a door and the light sort of coming out. I'm definitely at a pivot point. So did Bravehearts before Christmas, and which I loved, and really and set those goals, and I think I had some coaching with you before, so that's where you were like, wow, they're like this big. And I've been moving, edging forward, but I guess after kind of where I was last year and stuff, I've also been quite in my comfort zone, really. And I've been loving that. And I think there was a point at which I think we had a conversation a while ago where it's like it's okay to rest, it's okay to do that. And I feel that I've done that, and I feel like I've kind of really worked through that, and now I sort of see it like there was like a pendulum, really. So I was way over on this side of stress, burnout, whatever, whatever, and really feeling like there wasn't a place for me in the world. And I've been trying, I think, so you've got to kind of like throw the good stuff at it almost to bring it back. And I've kind of done that. I think now I'm kind of in the middle, maybe just a little bit too far in that comfort zone. Maybe enjoying that a little bit too much. I think there's a door that I need to open, and that's kind of what I'm feeling. Where I'm at though is I'm not quite sure how to open that door, and I'm a little bit scared of that.
I love it. Love the imagery. What do you make of it in terms of what it symbolizes? Where does the door lead to?
I think it leads to a bright future. I think that's what the light is. Yeah, so I think it's brightness, and I think it's going to be positive, and it's going to be different. But I think, yeah, I can see a bright future. That's the vision and the aim. So
What, where's the hesitation coming from?
yeah, so the hesitation is that, and this is the bit that I'm kind of battling with a bit, is if I go for that and go for that bright future, will it lead to the same things that it led to before? Will I not have my own back? And I've been talking to some friends and doing some other things as well, and that's the thing that's coming up for me, is that balance is really important to me. I think that might be a value, actually, as well as that authenticity. I think that's emerging as a value. And the hesitation is, I could throw myself into this bright new future and find myself in the same place that I did before. And so I've got to work through, I'm trying to think about, and I'm occupied with how do I do that? How do I go forward while maintaining that balance?
Love it. You know, what comes up for me as you're talking, Anne, is that idea of the pendulum is kind of a symbol for me of like all or nothing.
Yes,
Does that resonate for you too?
completely. That's me often, is all or nothing. And I think, or has been me, that's the word, has been me in the past.
Nice.
And what I
Nice
want,
claiming.
pardon?
Nice claiming. It has been me in the past.
And that kind of extremes of up there or up there, or and what I want is that.
Well, and you know, it makes total sense to me that if you've been in a state of kind of burnout where you haven't felt like you've advocated for your needs in the past, and then you've had this period of rest, like it makes complete sense that part of you would be like really hesitant to take too many big steps towards ever repeating that pattern again.
Yeah, I'm
And
scared
look,
of that. I'm frightened of it.
and look, you may well do that again,
Yeah.
right? Like that's because we're human, it takes time for us to change stuff and all of that jazz. And you know, I've had at least maybe five burnouts in my life. Did not learn the first time how to recognize the signs.
Yeah.
Went into survival mode pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And for the first three burnouts, I just thought, you know what, I'll drink my way through it. But
I
when
eat or spend my way through them.
Because it's about comfort, right? How can we soothe ourselves inside that feeling where everything is overwhelming? What I know about you to be true is that you are so much more onto that tendency for burnout now than you were before. And you are not alone in it anymore, right? You've got us. You've sought out support. You've got people in your life. Like it sounds like you're talking to your friends already. Like even before you take the steps, you're doing that very healthy adult thing of going, I'm a bit worried about how I might do this again,
Yeah.
right? So how will you know that you are doing too much, that you're tipping towards burnout?
I think a couple of things. I think there's a bit of how I'm showing up, and that I'm just in everyday life, just reacting rather than having a breath and responding from a place of, so I think, and I think I'm learning that about that all or nothing, that just because one bad reaction doesn't make a bad day or a bad week or a bad year and stuff. I've kind of had a few perfectionist tendencies. Oh, I'm shit, so I'll just pack it in and just be a terrible person kind of thing in the past. So, but now it's like, yeah, that didn't go so well. So what? So that's that.
Yeah.
It's done. Move on. Whatever. So yeah, I think so. If there's too much reacting, or it well, chain reaction. Bloody
Yeah.
rot in my head now. So, but like a, you know, chain reacting kind of thing. That for me will, then I'm not catching it and not doing it. So that'll be, and I think then also, it'll be about making time for the things that fill me up, that empower me. And even if it's just, I'm really, really busy, but I'm using 5 minutes to go and stand outside and maybe do a 4-star jumps or whatever it is. I
Yeah.
think that they're the things I want to live by, doing the things that fill me up, even if it is, I've got 2 minutes, so I'm going to box breathe for 2 minutes or whatever. Whereas where I was I didn't see any of those things available to me, or even that I almost that I didn't deserve them as well, because I was, yeah.
So I wonder. And if a little piece of homework you could take is right now, when you are in a place of balance, like almost make a little resource list for yourself, right? Here are all the things I can do.
Yeah.
And when as soon as you said chain reaction, I had the is it Donna Summer? Does she say
It's
that?
Diana Ross, isn't it? I'm
Diana
in
Ross, sorry.
chain
Yes,
reaction.
that's the one, Diana Ross. So that's a great little soundtrack, right? For you to know. How am I in the chain reaction, you know? And you can just sort of
Don't
go,
even like the song either.
yes. Quite annoying, isn't it? So,
Yeah.
yeah, but I think there's something about like having some fun with it, you know?
Yeah. I
Like,
like that.
and the idea here is, you know, reassuring yourself, even if I notice I'm tipping towards burnout, I'm so much more resourced now.
Yeah.
Because what your self-doubt will be saying is, don't do anything.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because that's the nothing part, which is safe.
Yeah.
But that's not great for us as business owners.
Not really. Not when you've got a mortgage to pay.
No. No, then you'll have a whole other scale of issues to worry about, right?
Yeah.
So it's about that, oh, how am I going to stay in relationship with balance?
Yeah.
Does that help you, Anne?
It does. I feel. So what I've been doing is kind of beating myself up about not moving forward, but actually, I think doing this as a foundation, as a, how am I going to, like, I really like that question, how am I going to stay in relationship with balance? I think that's the work. And once that's there, I think the other stuff will naturally start. I can feel it starting to come already. There's a few, oh yeah, I could do that. Actually, I need to do that. I need to think, yeah.
Well, and you know, one of
Thank
the
you.
things I would also offer is, to me, self-belief is the kind of light, if you like, just to play on your image. Self-belief is the light, and overdoing is the shadow,
Yeah.
right? So that critic protector, that's the
Yeah.
shadow of the sovereign.
Yeah.
It's all about you've got to do more to prove yourself, prove your
Yeah.
worth. And so when you're like, oh, okay, my self-belief is tipping over into overdoing. But when you stay in self-belief, it's very much about envisioning what you want to do, right? Setting
Yeah.
goals
Yeah.
and giving yourself a lot of encouragement.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, how we kind of lead our business, our lives, our relationships. We set the vision, set a goal, picture it, and then work towards it step by step, offering ourselves a ton of encouragement.
Yeah,
You know,
along the way.
this is why I'm such a fan of like celebrating the smallest step.
Yeah, so something out of it. So just to celebrate a small step here. Obviously, I did my coach training, and a couple of weeks ago I passed my assessment. So the assessment, which takes me on the, so it's an ICF accredited program that I did, and I've got the assessment now. So then I need to get towards the 100, get the 100 hours, and then I can get the ACC, and that will open doors, etc. And so I passed the assessment, and I really want to share that, and I haven't. I want to put it on LinkedIn. So that's my current little goal, is I'm
Well,
going
I'd love you to
to do
do
that.
that today and then tell us on
Okay.
the discussion forum that you've done it and we'll all celebrate with you.
Okay. I'll do it today.
First audible step, you got it.
Thank you.
And that's so great. And
Bloody shit works, doesn't it?
I love what Esther's sharing here about the glimmers lists. You know, glimmers are like the small everyday joys that gives you pleasure. So good. It's a great resource to carry with you. Love that, Esther. So wise. Aces, how are you feeling now, Anne?
Yeah, resourced.
Nice. That's what we want. That's
Thank
what we
you.
want.
Thank
Love
you.
it. You're so welcome. Can't wait to celebrate. Share you sharing that.
I'll put it on later. Thank you.
Thank you. Cool. All right. So heading up to the top. Anka, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Should I say what I had on mind, or does anybody else want?
I would love you to go for it.
Okay. So my goal was like that I wanted to start the coaching business this year. And because I'm still not healthy, like my heart is still like bumpy and my pulse and blood pressure are too low for medication. So I'm a sports person, so they don't know what to do. And the healing practitioner said it takes about half a year to three quarters of a year for it naturally to be out of the burnout, back into the normal rhythm. I made it my kind of goal that this year is about wholeness. So integration, and I love what you just did also with what you shared, Anne, and how you helped us, like, because it's so much about the balance. And I think in my case, it's really like I am not in a place that I can promise myself I will not do the wrong things again. So even if I don't do the nursing, but I do the coaching, I would be in danger of running on the same old, not healthy readiness to overwork if needed. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I like the, like, I just wrote a lot of things down. It was very inspiring to me, like, to really look to what is like what I really need in order to be ready to not fall into the same traps again. And I think like I don't have the feeling I have a right to work less than I could. Like, there's an inner mindset thing going that is like, oh, you know, you should or could, you know, do X and then Y would happen. But what instead ha would happen is that I would feel exhausted and I'm like, oh no, I shouldn't have started this coaching business. So I think that's kind of a loop where I'm in. On the one hand, I feel my healthy self is saying, like, no, take your time. And on the other hand, there's also something going on that is not really figured out yet, why I'm hesitant.
Anka, tell me more about that you should be working harder. Where does that come from, do you think?
So there's lots of like real life situations why future is uncertain. Like, we are living in a house of my parents because of my parents, and they might any day choose to sell the house. So on that level, and then we would have to move, and you know, and if I'm employed, I can go my do my work and come back home and wherever home is. But if I'm self-employed and I work from home, I need to have all this kind of stuff in place so that I really can do the coaching work. So that's kind of one basic big thing, and it might get decided anyway this year, so that would be out of the picture if I would know where we are in our own place to then do it. So that's kind of a big unstable situation. And the other one is just my heart situation. Like I love doing a lot. You know, I really love it. Like I'm excited to wake up, I sleep well, and I'm love to get in the flow every day. And then at some point I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Why did that happen? So there's a should out of this mode I've always lived by, kind of the high energy mode, maybe. And I like it, but I'm older now. I need to find a new mode, and I haven't really found it yet, I think.
So what I'm hearing is the house situation, like where we live, is it's almost like it's driving this need to make some decisions.
Make what kind of decisions?
What you're going to do, when you're going to do it.
In terms of business or in terms of where we live?
Well, in terms of your business, like I'm wondering about that relationship. Like, even if your parents decide, we've decided we're going to sell the house, like what would happen then?
Then we would have to find another place to live, have to move, have to help them move, have to, get rid of all the house stuff, which is a big, I don't know if I could do that whole responsibility next to building up my own business, coaching others. Like if I just do my nursing work, that's something I know, but I would have to do too many new things at one time.
Understand. So again, I'm hearing the all or nothing, right? Like either we're moving and that's going to happen and I've got to stay in that worry place about having too much, or I do nothing.
So I'm doing quite a lot already to prepare for this coaching thing. So I'm collaborating with people, I'm coaching people, I'm getting gigs to speak and be part of symposiums and stuff. So like basically to, and I'm working on the website. So I am working on it, but I don't feel ready to do the step to do this tax ID in Germany thing and everything that's on that.
So I guess I'm just wondering if the house move is a red herring.
Is it what?
Does that translate a red herring? It's like a distraction. It's like,
Oh.
oh, worry about this. When actually, I imagine you can have a conversation with your parents about the timing of that, the impacts of that.
No, I can't. I can't. But like, what I hear you suggest is what would my coaching situation be like if there would not be the house situation, right? So because I could, I cannot really decide I'm leaving now. It would be not fair. But if that would be not the case, if I would imagine now I would live in a stable situation, and that would be just the health uncertainty, how that develops, I would still be hesitant.
So, is the actual blocker right now the administration around setting yourself up as a coach in Germany?
Yes, that's a big part of it.
And so I guess that was the kind of all or nothing thing I'm hearing, right? It's like got to do either nothing or everything. Sorry, Bodhi's just gone to see who's at the door.
I like it. It jumped
Yeah, he's head of security. Sorry.
away.
So I get, yeah, I guess I'm just curious about, like, is there a way that you can spend this time where you are still recovering to plan for you in a year's time? If it's going to take 6 months, 9 months for your heart to stabilize, why not use that time to just take the pressure off having to set everything up, but go through that slow administrative process?
And yeah, I love this. And especially I love the idea of taking the house thing. Like that is something that is beyond my control out of the picture,
It's,
and
yeah.
feel into what would I need when I'm ready to not have this other thing anymore, to start moving and get ready on all levels for that. And that feels really, really good, especially because so many coincidences are happening where I'm like, oh my God, I could just like, if I would, I would enjoy just jumping on that. And
Yeah.
also that my heart is not ready yet is kind of maybe good, because like what I just learned from your coaching of Anne, I'm actually not sure I would not make mistakes again. So that now I can really like create the ground, like prepare the garden. So get the stones out, get the situation ready, get the puddles of water that are always drowning the whole thing out of the picture, evening the ground and making it nice and fertile for when the time is ready to then the seeds can be put in and come up. So it's a beautiful idea to, because I was kind of a little bit blind in my envisioning because of this kind of craziness of the house situation and other stuff. Yeah, so thank you. That's very helpful.
I love that image of your, right now your business is a garden, and you may even see it as like, I remember when Ash got our allotment and it was pretty overgrown and there was pallets everywhere and there was like half a septic tank that had sort of been buried, and it took most of that first few months was just getting it to a place where he could then create some boxes for the vegetables to be planted, So even that is a metaphor for your business right now, could be super helpful to think about what's the preparation work I need to do. I'm in the preparation time of phase of my business. And that is, that's going to be an opportunity to see and play with how you want to show up and what you want to do.
And what I also like really learned from Anne's coaching is like the resources I want to have in place and the spaces I create. Like in the garden, you have like a garden shed with goods of resources in it. And then you have these different beds. Is it called beds in English? And in between there are walkways. And they also need to have like access to the compost and access to the water source and and so to really create in my mind the whole like ground for the business in a way that I know I will have enough space for myself and the resources are ready.
And I love this so much. And you may even want to be creative with this. Like, you could create a vision board with lots of, get a gardening magazine and just sort of sketch it out. So you've actually got a visual picture of what phase you're in right now for your
Yeah,
business.
beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And the thing is as well, like I noticed you said, I don't want to make the mistakes. And can I just say that's just inevitable, right? Inevitable. And the thing is, right, one of the real kind of skills I think as a business owner is how quickly can you recover from the mistake? Because and there is, I need to find the source of this, but there is a philosopher who says the greatest thing you can do as a human is solve a problem. Like it's like the most, it requires all your creativity and your imagination, and you kind of have to imagine what it's going to look like and unpick what might have already been done. There's something really satisfying about solving a problem. So that's how I've kind of rephrased, I've made a mistake. It's like, oh, I've got a new problem to solve. That's really helped me to stay out of like self-judgment, or feeling persecuted by technology. Like when something goes wrong and you're like, oh man, why is this happening to me? It's like, oh okay, this is a problem to solve. I got a new thing I can play with.
And what I also feel about this is like making mistakes is more difficult when you're already living off your business, but it's easier when it's on the side, like which I did with my writing business. And so as like I'm still written sick, like getting paid by the health insurance and stuff. But as soon as I'm not written sick anymore, I could officially have a new job if I don't do the nursing again, which I don't want to. I kind of decided that already, but I could then start the tax thing for the coaching, and I'm on the Satori plan for three people, so I could just like promise to myself, like, as like I'm limiting myself, like, to I only used three garden beds and not 12 or something.
Nice, yeah.
And for this year, I do coaching, but my practice is full when I have three paying clients.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that feels very,
How does
I'm
that
really,
feel? Like, just in your heart right now?
I have chicken skin. It feels true.
Nice. Chicken skin. Is that like goosebumps?
Exactly.
Chicken
Whatever.
skin. I love that so much. Oh man. German phraseology is brilliant. Yeah, so good.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. And then there's not so much a danger. If I then make mistakes, no problem. It's a side gig. I have time to fix it. And next year I can grow bigger and not make the mistakes again. Yeah, thank you.
That's the thing, isn't it? Like, and I was thinking this with you as well, and like, you're the leader, so you get to decide the pace of growth, of expansion, of adding in more services and offers. It's all up to you. It can be a human pace. Beautiful.
Maybe I just add with one thing. The one sentence I underlined that I wrote down was, and which is kind of exactly where we ended up now, is intentionally reach for my right path.
Yeah.
Isn't it beautiful how the coaching led exactly to, now I know what that is. Otherwise, I would have been like, what could that be? But now I know. Thank you, Seth.
You're so welcome. Love it. Imagery is brilliant for this stuff, guys. And you've got such beautiful imaginations. I'm loving this. Cool. And I think Sharon, are you next? Hello. And Andy, if we've got time, we'll come to you, my love.
I am next. It's just really nice listening to everybody else because you always like it always like prompts like loads of different thoughts for me, while I'm listening to other people. So it's really nice. Thank you. I just wanted to share. I'm feeling a bit like I'm kind of like on the precipice or on the brink of something this week. I've been really brave. All this stuff about. My membership and all this. I think I've mentioned it before. People leaving and feeling that I've got like two choices of just sit here watching people leave, letting it reach its natural conclusion, or do something about it. And so this week I decided to take action, and I sent out this huge questionnaire to all the members with some pretty detailed questions about what they like, what they didn't like, what they wanted to keep, what they didn't want to keep, all of this stuff. These events that we run, is it their intention to come to any of this year? If so, really, like, let's get the hard information, which is really scary. It was like, oh my God, because I hate feedback. I hate. I go into things like this thinking, oh, it's all going to be bad. It's all going to be like everybody's going to be criticizing me and it, and it's not good enough because that's my underlying story. And oh my God, oh my God. But actually, as the results started coming back, and by the way, I'm not my Jasmine's in charge of all that, so I don't have to look at them all. Do you know what I mean? Which is really nice. But just the kind of high level detail, the high level. View so far is actually really helpful because I feel like I'm not in this limbo land all the time. It's almost like, right, I know what's what now. Like these live events, which are just taking so much emotional energy, even though I'm not even running them anymore, just the whole thing of having to pay somebody else and people not turning up and all this sort of stuff. I mean, yeah, it's becoming clear that people are not going to come to them this year for whatever reason. And I'm like, phew, okay, great. It gives me an excuse now to say, I'm right, I'm not doing this. So it's all kind of like in a weird, it's just weird in a weird way. It's been really frightening. And there's also this fear of kind of, oh, if it's a case of like, I have to get rid of this thing, you know, God, what's that going to feel like? Because I'm so emotionally attached to it because I built this thing and there's an identity thing going on, and that's been really scary. So there's that going on. But then in another way, it's kind of like, well, I'm taking action now. This, what you just said there, I get to decide, like, okay, right, I'm moving forward now. I'm not just sitting here with my thoughts and making assumptions and all this sort of stuff. So, and it might be, because one of the questions I asked was for ideas for other things that they would like to see. So, you know, my choices are get rid of it or recreate it into something else. And either or, I don't know yet, because we've not obviously looked at the results in detail, but it does feel like a bit of a tipping point, which is kind of quite scary, but kind of, it's just weird.
Anyway, I'm curious to know, Sharon, what has this experience, how is that impacting this belief that all feedback is critical?
It's helping me see that it can be helpful, you know, for sure.
And just notice, right, like when we start from a place of all feedback is critical, that, yeah, all feedback, it feels like criticism. Like, you just think about how that feels to you, believing that. I don't know, can you describe what emotion comes up?
It's upsetting. It makes me feel upset. It makes me feel small. It makes me feel like, you know, it takes me right back to the whole childhood thing about, oh, you're not good enough. Whatever you do is not good enough. And like, so therefore, whatever I do is always wrong, you know? I can never please everybody. It's always wrong. You know, it's never. And so there's so much. And so to give people an opportunity to actually say that feels really
so brave.
Scary. Really scary.
It's really brave. Notice your language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Notice your language. It's really scary.
It is.
I don't think it's that. I think it's really brave. Just notice, like, when you believe all feedback is going to be criticism, that leads to that feeling of smallness and feeling not good enough, a lot of like feeling rejected almost. And when you feel rejected, like, what's possible for you to do or say when it comes to the relationship with your clients?
When I feel rejected.
What does that do to your relationship with your clients when you're feeling rejected?
It just, it leads to my second one, bad thing, which is the overgiving thing again, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, you can have all this free, it's all right, you know, kind of like, don't worry, you know, whatever, you can have this, you can have that, you can have this, you know.
Yeah.
This isn't good enough, let me give you more, you know, kind of.
Right. And so what comes up, like, what's the sort of outcome of doing that? When you're constantly overgiving, what's the outcome of that?
It's just exhausting. And it's you know, it leads to those horrible feelings of resentment, you know, which I don't like feeling like that. So I don't like myself when I feel like that, because it's not a good energy, you know. So
it's a really great, I mean, thank you for playing with me, because it's really, I think, helpful to see. And you might see, if you choose to watch the recording, right, you've got this belief all feedback will be critical, which leads to feeling like pre-rejected, right? Before you've even asked for it, you're already going, oh, okay, I'm just going to anticipate the rejection. And so that leads to this urgency to overgive,
right?
And that leads to resentment. It's a really good pattern to notice. And there may be other beliefs that feed into that kind of pattern as well. And now you've got this evidence, right, that actually some feedback is really helpful.
Yeah.
when you believe that, some client feedback is really helpful. What feeling does that help you access?
It helps you make better decisions.
What's the emotion that's there? Some client feedback is really helpful. What emotion does that give you?
It's hard to describe, but it helps you feel, or it helps me feel like sort of calmer, like less reactive to things, like clearer, lighter.
Yeah, nice.
Like, oh, I can like move forward now. I can take it, you know, this, because I've been in this kind of limbo and I've been making all these assumptions and.
So just notice that, when I believe, some client feedback is so helful. It's like clear, calm, neutral. You sound like almost like, oh, I'm curious. Like, send it to me. I want to see what's going on.
This will make you laugh. Yesterday, I was like, I didn't know myself. I'm like, so this, you know, the Trainer Talk Local event in London last week, like, obviously they exist and the idea is hopefully they join afterwards and nobody's been joining and stuff. So, and I got to the state, I'd been going through this whole throwing my toys out of the pram, resenting people for not doing it. And then I was like, God, you know, so I basically had a call yesterday with this person who'd been, and I, you know, chit-chatting, whatever. And I could feel the nerves. I thought, right, I'm going to do it. And I just said to her, can you like really help me out with something here? Like, you know, you went along because she was saying how valuable she found it and everything. And I said, oh, you know, can you just help me out? I'm really curious. Like, you haven't joined. Can you kind of like tell me why? And then she like proceeded to like say, hello, how is the cost? It's this, it's that, or whatever. But I was like, oh my God, like that felt, although it was scary to ask that, because I don't normally do that. I just sit in this, you know, making assumptions and I say throw my toys out of the pram. But it felt so empowering to actually ask that and to get the answer. And to know and just kind of rather than stewing, you know.
It sounds like actually it was nothing to do with the value of the event.
No.
It was about her situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
So when you believe that client feedback can be really helpful and there's that feeling of calmness and curiosity, like it sounds like you're more willing to actually seek out the feedback.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Which adds to making your business better, clarifying all the messy stories that might be going on, giving you a sense of empowerment. Like this, it's almost like there's nothing bad that can come from that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it feels, you know, going back to the whole safety thing, it's so much safer to not ask and just.
For sure.
There, because, you know, it's like.
And I really can I just challenge that slightly, right? Because I think what I think the distinction that might be helpful to make is it seems safer to ask, to never ask for feedback. But notice how much energy you're spending making assumptions about what's going on and all the resentment that leads to and the feeling of being rejected, pre-rejected, right, when it hasn't happened yet. All of that stuff, like actually that doesn't feel particularly safe.
No.
But asking, seeking out feedback, doing that very brave thing, seeking out feedback in person, asking someone that you are on a call with, sending out a survey, that gives you some real information to play with. Mm. And you get to decide what you're going to do with it because you're the leader of your business.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so we're just busting that belief, right? You've now got some really solid evidence that disrupts this belief that all feedback is criticism. You've now got some really great evidence that's quite recent and alive for you, that actually feedback is really helpful for me and my business. And it's like, you know, when we're busting beliefs, sometimes like it can feel like they're both true at the same time. Like, well, I've still got evidence that it's not, right? But actually, what the more you practice believing this new, more helpful belief, you know, some client feedback's really helpful for me, for my business. That's where you start to change it, because you're going to get more recent evidence that updates that belief. That's why it's so brave.
Yeah.
I always say to people, you know, courage feels like ass. It always, like, we always think courage is such an amazing thing, right? But you only need courage when you're doing something freaking brave, right? So, of course, it feels like, oh God, I don't know.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the more you update the beliefs that you're operating from. And yeah, that, you know, that is very, very much intentionally why, you know, for me, anyone who's a business owner has a brave heart, because you are every day sitting in psychological risk. Every time you create something new, every time you market that, you sell, you practice selling that, delivering it, reward, how you reward yourself, planning the next thing, all of those stages of, you know, how we, you know, operate our businesses, it's catnip for self-doubt. And I think it can be such a beautiful, like, portal into self-awareness and building up some really good resources internally so you can make new choices. So Anne never burns out again, you know? Sharon stops feeling rejected. Anka starts building a beautiful garden-like business from the ground up at her pace. You know, all of these things, this is entirely possible, right? Just notice it's just like a series of decisions, following up with actions, coming back and going, okay, how did that work? And then we do another thing, you know, and we keep updating our beliefs as we go. Really cool, Sharon. And the thing that also strikes me about this is the more that you create a business that has a need in the world, because I think that's sometimes what we can do, right? And I always think about this when I talk to people who say they're a soul coach. And I'm like, I'm not sure what that is, right? But it's like when you have an offer, you know, a service or a product, for those of you who are makers, when that meets a need in the world, that's when you've got a business. Thing you love doing meets a need in the world, there's a business there. And so that has to be a reciprocal arrangement for you to feel like, hey, in the middle. And so when you start kind of creating a business or adding to your business, sharing, growing it so that it's meeting the needs of your clients, present and future, it's like the need for the overgiving starts decreasing because everyone's getting what they want. Yeah. And you can only create the business that your clients, current and future, want by asking them, what do you want? Yeah. What would be helpful, right? Yeah. You know? Yeah. So good.
Thank you.
So good.
So, you know, this time next week, I might now have a business, people.
You might have doubled it.
Do that questionnaire. Yeah. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Go for it. Love it, Sharon. Thank you. So I'm curious to know, like, the question I asked in the meditation is, what does your business need from you right now? Just as we started. And I'm curious to know what came up for each of you. Do you want to share in the chat? Because I've been asking myself this question a lot over the last year. It's fascinating to me what comes up. So yeah, please do share. What does your business need for you, from you this year, do we think? I love that. Anka, rest well. Yeah. You are your own greatest business asset, right? Yeah. So if you aren't okay, it's not okay. Yeah, Sharon, love that. Decluttering. Make it simple. People love simple. Money loves simple. You know, when you've got 17 different offers, too many choices. Love it. And show up and go forward. Yeah. Yeah. Big survivor mode, Andy. Yeah, mine is, and you just need to keep going. Yeah. And I'd also offer, like, how do you want to keep going? Who are you as you are keeping going? Yeah. And SEA, to believe in what I have to offer. Totally. I already believe in it. I already believe in it. My goodness. Anyone who spends their days in their heads, yeah, knows how important somatic coaching is. And yeah, Claire, showing up, courage, going beyond normal. Oh, that's fascinating. Going beyond normal. Love it. Yeah. I really hope this has helped for those of you here, just to kind of sink into those questions. Like, I think that they're really good ones to ask yourself if you feel a bit stuck. Like, okay, let me just take a moment and imagine that my business has a separate entity, is a separate entity, has a separate energy to me. How's it feeling? What does it need? When we can stay in relationship with that thing that is our business, it's like it will reveal things to us. I think it does it through our, like, healthy adult self. Like, our healthy adult self is like, okay, I kind of know what to do next, right? So it's like we sort of slightly abstract the need to know what to do by giving that job to our business and seeing what comes back to us. It's a very similar to what we do with the meet your sage and your warrior and your lover and your sovereign, meeting those parts of you. You can kind of do that for your business. What does it need from you? Just using that technique that's just slightly abstracted, so it's a separate thing, and it just gives you a bit of space from having to kind of intellectualize it all. You get to feel it a bit more. Something to share with you all. We're going to do another round of, like, courage-based goals, and I'm just kind of figuring that out in terms of when to do it, because I'm moving in 28 days to New Zealand. And what is likely to happen is that these calls will actually be slightly earlier in the day for UK people. And for those of you who are in the States and Australia and New Zealand, we'll probably have an additional call as well at a different time. So that might suit folks better. So I'm thinking that it might move from 11 till 9 in the morning, which will be a kind of way to kick off a Wednesday, the last Wednesday of the month. And I'll also add in another call for folks in different time zones. So I'm hoping that's going to suit folks and it's not going to be too much of a disruption. The time zone is a little craziness, but it's 13 hours different, so it's not even easy to calculate. But yeah, we'll figure that out. So we will do a weekly, like, weekly coaching for 6 weeks on a courage-based goal that you've chosen. So have a think about what you want to get going and get what you want to get going with, and we'll figure it out together. Yeah. Cool. Well, my loves, take care of yourselves and your beautiful, brave businesses, and I'll see you again soon. Yeah. Okay. Bye, everyone. See you.